Good morning, and welcome to Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in O'Fallon, Illinois. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter, the season where we celebrate weekly the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But being the second Sunday of May also means that this is Mother's Day. And so, whether your mothers are near or far, whether they are on earth or in heaven, we hope that you will take this time to remember them and to honor them this day. We have a COVID update. Really, there's not a whole lot to say because the times are changing almost with every single day. And new requirements are coming out. The boundaries are coming and going. We are hoping that by May 31st, it's possible that we could be meeting for church here in person for Pentecost Sunday. What a joy that would be. That would be May 31st. So we will wait and see and then inform you as to the decision that will be made. And if you haven't heard, little Daniel Cush has come home. He was apparently resting while Pastor Matt was practicing his sermon. No, just kidding. But I had to stick this picture in because it was so great. And we know that the family is overjoyed. Pastor Matt and Haley are thrilled to have their son home with them now where they can become a family. And so we are so thankful for that. Next on our slides, we wanted to also honor Teacher Appreciation Week, which I understand was last week. I could be wrong, but we're going to do it this week. And so I wanted to acknowledge first our Sunday school teachers. Our teachers are Carrie Boulanger, Kim Cruz, Mary Stocky, Lindsay Sherman, PJ and Melanie Arsvold, Lorianne Reynolds, Rachel Schmidt, and Pastor Matt and Haley. And we thank you for your service to the church. But I also wanted to recognize those who have taught in the public or public-private arena. And we have those that are retired and those who are active. Of the retired is Diane Colvin, Phyllis Meisner, Maureen Trapp, Kathy Huseman, Margene Geralds, Linda Tucker, and Allie Behrens. By the way, Allie left her position at West Point as a volleyball coach and is now in the United States Air Force. So congratulations to you, Allie. Of our active teachers are Kim Lloyd, Rachel Weaver, Amy Boggs, Eric Stocky, David Boggs, Bill and Marina Feldman, Christy Poteet, Karen Anders, and Kara Brockmeyer, who finished her very first year of teaching. And what a year that must have been, not only for Kara, but for all teachers. And lastly, I wanted to tell you to be sure to tune in next week for the baptism of Finley Brooks Grant, the newborn son of Nathan and Hannah Grant. It'll be a joyous celebration, and we hope you'll be able to participate virtually, and we thank you for doing that. Well, of the many things that Jesus said, one of the most memorable phrases he taught us was, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we begin our worship today in honor of God's Son, Jesus, who became flesh to show us the way to God, to bring us the truth of his person and work, and to give us the resurrection life in time and in the life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening sentences are from selected scripture. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. We take a moment of silence now to open our hearts before God, our Father. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Holy God, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being credible witnesses to you. For these things, we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Holy God, in the daily round, from sunrise to sunset, remind us again of your holy presence hovering near us and in us. Free us from shame and self-doubt. Help us to see you in the moment-by-moment possibilities and to live like the first Christian martyr, Stephen, honestly, courageously, and with the voice of godly wisdom to the glory of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends in Christ, because of our Lord's mercy, God has redeemed us through the sacrifice of his beloved Son, Jesus. And now it is, as Peter has said, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Therefore, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We take a moment now to share God's peace with those who are with us.
You, I pray you won't roll with.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed, where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We prepare our hearts now for the reading of God's holy word. The first reading for this fifth Sunday of Easter is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapters 6 and 7, the account of Stephen's martyrdom. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and or Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Peter's first letter, chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Alleluia. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue with hymn number 526, "You Are the Way, Through You Alone."
grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We all have had simple phrases in our lives that have stuck with us throughout our entire lives. And my mom, because it is Mother's Day, would always say a very famous line of hers, who she learned from her family and her father before her and has been passed down. Early is on time, and on time is late. It seems that actually that got passed down even farther, because even Daniel was born before he was supposed to, because he wanted to see everyone so soon. So yes, early was on time, and he did not want to be late. Another one was from another mother, Haley, my wife. Throughout this entire process of dealing with Daniel's heart issues and going to all the hospital visits, she's been incredibly strong and has been moving forward so wonderfully. And she always says, no matter how small, no matter how long, keep moving forward. These phrases, one from back when I was a kid to the one that I am living with and help and using to help me right now, have guided my actions and my work ethics and many other parts of my life. And that's how many of us are. Think back to some of the phrases that your parents said to you. Some of the things that your father, your mother, a friend, things that you've kept bringing back in your mind that have helped ground you in tough times or have helped you persevere through trials. We all have at least one or two. And it's the same with what our text has today. In fact, our texts are full of very familiar phrases within the Christian faith. None more so than the one from the Gospel of John here today. Christ says a very simple phrase, a phrase that you will see being put on t-shirts, on motivational posters, and on so many comforting words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's one of the very first Bible verses I actually memorized as a kid. My mom would drill them into me because it was my homework, and she would make sure that I would know them well. In fact, I can think of many of us who know this verse. It's almost as famous as, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." It is interesting that this verse, this simple phrase, was said right before Jesus was going to be arrested. It was on the couple of hours before he would go into a lonely garden. And in this moment, he is trying to give his disciples some last teachings, some comfort in the times to come. He says even before this that he is going to his Father, that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And that he is going to prepare a place where there is many rooms. But he is the way, the truth, and the life. The comforting words, things that we hear in funerals, things that we hear in our everyday life. But the phrase itself is simple. But the living it, whew, that's where it becomes tricky. You can actually see this in the first reading that we had today from Acts. We've been going through the Acts of the Apostles in the last couple of Sundays, seeing how the church, mere weeks after Christ ascended into heaven, even days, became a revolutionary movement within Jerusalem. And how many were called to faith, and many people were brought to know Christ as their Savior, as the way, the truth, and the life. But the way was difficult and fraught with peril. The disciples recognized this very quickly. They were actually being persecuted by the chief priests, the Pharisees, in very much the same way that Jesus was. They kept remembering the words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But now the way they were walking was fraught with peril. not only from the chief priests and the Pharisees, but from their own congregations. There were so many questions that were coming up that they never even thought they would have to do. Questions about the Old Testament and questions about what to do next. The disciples were assailed on all sides and they needed time to study. They needed to meditate on God's word. And so they brought helpers, chosen people, to help them and help others in living the way that Christ lived, helping the poor, helping the sick, and preaching God's word. One of them was a young man named Stephen. And oh boy, did this young man live out the phrase, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Stephen would go to the marketplaces and he would go and sit beside those who were ailing, and wondrous miracles would happen where he would heal the sick. He would lay his hands and forgive the sins of many in the name of Jesus Christ. He walked in the way of his Lord. Because he walked in that way, he was arrested by those same chief priests and Pharisees who were assailing the disciples. But he kept a firm grasp to that phrase. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He clung to that as they led him to a trial. He spoke the truth, a harsh truth, to those people. Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by the angels and did not keep it. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, spoke truth. It was a hard truth that these chief priests and Pharisees did not want to hear. They were trying to silence the talk that Jesus was risen from the dead. They were trying to put up the lie that he was merely a false Christ, a false prophet leading the destruction of Jerusalem and the Jewish way of life. But Stephen knew that Christ was the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of all of the promises that God had made to his beloved people Israel. And he clung to those promises. He clung it to them, and he could not let this lie go on longer. And he proclaimed truth. It was harsh, but he proclaimed it nevertheless, as Christ did when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." But then, the life, they killed him for speaking the truth, for living that way. The chief priests and the Pharisees took stones, heavy stones, and crushed Stephen. How was one to live? He followed in the way. He proclaimed the truth. And he has now no life in him. It's hard. It's hard to live these phrases. It'd be so much easier not to. For maybe if Stephen went a different way, maybe passed by that beggar on the street corner, maybe didn't hand out some food to the hungry, he wouldn't have drawn attention to himself. Maybe if he fudged the truth a little bit, made it easier to palate, he wouldn't have gotten in trouble. Maybe then he could have preserved his life here on earth for a little while longer. But he didn't. He proclaimed truth and he walked in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he died because of it. What is known as Stephen, the first martyr of the faith. This is hard for many Christians in today's world to accept. It's a harsh way of life. It is a simple phrase, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A verse that we all know and hold to our hearts deeply, and yet it's hard to follow. Instead of loving, we choose to hate. Instead of thinking the best out of those around us, we want to think the worst and not live in a way that is how Christ wants us to live. Instead, going how the world is going, tearing down, worrying and being anxious to the point of hurting our neighbors. It's a simple phrase, but it's hard to live by, especially when it comes to the truth. It's a harsh truth, for Christ is the only way for righteousness. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. And he is the one who saves, the only one. And this truth, while comforting for us, is hard. But what about our family members who do not believe, but are still good people? Well, then, they don't know the way. What about those who were just doing good throughout their entire life, who did wonderful things on this earth, and yet did not believe in Christ? Isn't Christ going to prepare a room in heaven for them? No. It's a harsh truth, one that is so easily twisted in a way that makes it more palatable for people. But Christ is the narrow way. He is the door, the only good shepherd. It's a simple phrase, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, but it's hard to live by. But there is hope and there is life. For you see, this is a very difficult way, and it is hard to live in these phrases. It was hard for the people that Peter wrote to. In his epistle lesson today, Peter was writing to the churches in Asia Minor. They were assailed at all sides from so many persecutions. They were scared to follow in the way that God wanted them to go. They were scared to proclaim the truth, for it would get them killed. They were scared for their very lives. And yet Peter wrote to them. Peter comforted them, gave them hope. He gave them a wonderful reminder of God's consistent love for them. He says, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And that cornerstone is Christ himself. For he lays the foundation for which we as Christians walk. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. Peter reminds them of that and us, that it is hard to walk in the ways of Christ, but he gives us strength. He gives us hope, for he is there, our sure and solid rock, guiding our footsteps, holding us in all the peril. And he proclaims to us the truth, that the stone the builders rejected had become the cornerstone. For he was the rock that rolled all the kingdoms away and established his kingdom forever. And this is the truth. proclaim to all people that Christ, God's Son, Jesus, came to this world for you, that he loves you, and that if by believing in him, you will have life eternal, and his life abundantly. It can be hard to live this life. It might be easy for us to fall into despair. It might even be easy to not to know even how to live in this simple phrase, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But it might not be so hard as you think. Over the past several weeks, my Facebook page has been full of pictures of my son Daniel taken by my wife, posting about how he is doing in the hospital, his journey from birth to the NICU, surgery, PICU, TCU, and finally home. And every single one I have seen the people of Blessed Savior outpouring their love, their prayers, and their well wishes for us and for Daniel. And even those who are not from Blessed Savior, families and friends, and sometimes even the complete stranger, they would all give warm and comforting thoughts, saying that their prayers are with us and sharing in our joy. Thank you. Thank you. You are living the way that Christ was doing, helping others in a very simple way, but in a powerful way as well. It is so comforting, for Peter even speaks about this, that those who are called in Christ, they are a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I have felt that light shone through forth by the priesthood of believers here at Blessed Savior and around the world through your prayers. It isn't always easy to live that simple life, to believe full-heartedly, to truly cherish I am the way, walking in it, the truth, proclaiming it, even when it sometimes is hard to, and the life, having life abundantly, and even willing to lay down your life for Christ. It's hard, and it's difficult. It will always remain that way until Christ comes again. But he has given us each other, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers and sisters, both family and in Christ, that we may walk in the ways that Christ would have us go, that we may teach and proclaim the truth that lasts everlasting, and that we might have life and have it abundantly in Christ. So let us continue, my brothers and sisters, living out these simple phrases and proclaiming the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. We confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue our worship with our gifts and offerings.
help me be brave when I'm scared of the dark. I like it when you take me to the park and play with me. You make my boo-boos feel better with a kiss and a Band-Aid. Your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are the best. I love it when you give me lots of hugs and kisses. I think you're so pretty. You always make me feel so special. I like it when you read me books at bedtime and when you pray with me. You have taught me to love God and read my Bible. Thank you for taking such good care of me every day. I'm so happy God gave me you. I want to be a mommy just like you someday. I love you so very, very much. Happy Mother's Day. The Lord is to be praised. Proverbs 31:30.
Say, love you, Mama.
Love you, Mama.
Say it again. Love you, Mama.
Love you, Mama. I love my mommy because she has the best snuggles ever in the whole wide world.
You like to run on the playground with Mommy?
Yeah, and exercise.
You like to exercise with Mommy?
I like to exercise. I'm big.
I love Mommy because she takes care of me.
Say, Mommy.
Love you.
Mommy. Oh. I love my Mommy because she plays with me a lot.
Anything else?
She reads books with me and goes to bed with me.
Yeah.
And,
I love my mommy because she gets my raisins.
I love mommy because she loves me.
I love my mom because she helps out all the time and she's really nice.
I like mom because she's very warm and nice. And I love her very much.
I love my mom because she's the greatest hockey mom in the world.
I love my mom because she helps me with my schoolwork.
You love Mommy?
Because I love school for Mommy. I like saying by Mommy.
Yeah? That's what you like, Mommy school? That's why you love Mommy?
Yeah.
I love my mom because she takes care of me.
Love you, Mommy.
What's one thing you love about your mom, Ichi? Charlie?
That she lets me, like, do, like, my stuff after I, do my stuff.
Okay, what about you, Zach?
Feed me.
What about you, Paul?
She's really good at cooking.
And you, Karis?
She's making cookies.
Here we go. So, I love my mom because
I like to give her sweet hugs.
And that's how much I love my mama. Can you say Happy Mother's Day?
Happy Mother's Day.
Wait, is it Mother's Day?
Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, the psalmist reminds us, you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Hear us today as we call upon you for the help only you can provide. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant power to your word, O Lord, as it is proclaimed boldly by your church, filled with the Holy Spirit, in the faithful witness of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Turn the hearts of all who bear the authority of government in our land and around the world, that they serve and lead all people in the ways of justice, peace, and freedom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us your Spirit, O God, to walk in the ways of Jesus and to be faithful citizens in the world in which we live, that we may learn the power of humble service as our Lord Jesus has taught us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we give you thanks for teachers who inspire us and set our imaginations ablaze and give us the tools we need to be productive people. Bless their efforts to invigorate learning in each generation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, give your healing comfort to all who suffer sickness or injury. In the silence of our hearts now, we call to you the names of those whose burdens we are helping to carry today. Give aid to those suffering from the coronavirus and from the economic disaster that is spreading across the world. Grant resources to the poor and helpless. We thank you, O God, for every person who has recovered from this deadly virus and pray that their healing may provide answers for a cure to the researchers and doctors who are treating those still struggling under this disease. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, our God, we pray for Marcia Kempton's mother, Betty Munson, who has been taken into hospice care. We thank you for giving her a solid faith throughout her life, and especially now in her hour of need. Be with Marcia, Paul, and their family as they come to grips with what seems inevitable, and yet at the same time, trusting you have prepared a special place for her in the glories of heaven. We pray for our church neighbor, George Hubbard, who is battling what appears to be a return of cancer. He is our good neighbor, but more importantly, he is your child by faith. You restored him once. May we be so bold to ask for a second touch of divine healing on his behalf. We also ask for healing on behalf of Eric Stocky's co-worker, James Barris, who is recovering from an injury due to a fall. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray again for those in the assisted living homes and nursing care facilities and ask you to watch over our dear brothers and sisters, Lorreen Lertz, Eugene and Beverly Solga, Janine Stocky, Polly Shear, Dean Paulsmeyer, and Cornelia Paulson. They are alone and isolated. Let them find comfort in your companionship, O Lord, and help us all to find ways to communicate our love to them in creative ways. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you, O God of life, special praise and thanks today for baby Daniel's homecoming and for giving him the blessing of physical healing over the past 3 weeks. Bless this beloved family and their time together, that their familial love may grow stronger as their love for you increases and is strengthened by your abiding presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, today we set aside this Sunday to offer you special thanks for our mothers. Some of our mothers are with us every day and night, loving us with their attention and humble service, tirelessly attending us through their daily routines of working, teaching, mentoring, cooking, cleaning, washing clothes, and still finding energy to tuck us into bed at night with a kiss. We bless you for the gift they are to us. Some of our mothers, living far away, can only speak to us through electronic devices. Bridge the miles between them and their children and help them to know the gratefulness and love of their children. Some of our mothers are living in dire situations due to age and or illness. and are unable to respond to the affections of their children. Break through those barriers by your grace, that these precious mothers may be given awareness of those precious moments of affection. And some of our mothers are grieving today because they have lost a child through miscarriage or premature death. For some, there is an empty chair in their family gatherings. Others have no child with whom to share this special day. O Lord God, pour out a special measure of your grace to these mothers and grant them divine comfort and peace in this tragic absence. Fill their emptiness with an overflowing of your Spirit's presence. And some of our mothers, Lord of heaven, you have taken to their glorious mansions, and we have but bits and pieces of cheerful memories. Grant us the ability to hold on to those memories with joyful admiration and thankfulness for the days we shared together. We thank you for the precious gift of motherhood, Lord of love. And whatever situation our mother finds herself in today, please bless her and speak tenderly to her by your still small voice, so that her memories may be blessed with joy and her grief comforted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor on your servants, Mary Stocky, Hayden Williams, Kim Williams, and Davis Griffin, as they begin another year of earthly life. Grant that in the coming years they may grow in wisdom and grace, and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the loving union you have created and blessed in the marriages of Chris and Sandy Rust, Kyle and Virginia Kesting, and Roger and Phyllis Meisner. Keep strong their love for one another, and let nothing come between them to dim that love. We ask you, Spirit of wisdom and friendship, to walk with them through the years as you unfold the story of their lives together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Heavenly Father, we pray for all who suffer any persecution for standing for the truth of the Christian faith. Give us strength to endure. Increase our faith and faithfulness, believing that the risen Christ leads us to the glory of eternal life in your kingdom. Through him who died and rose on the third day to bring us the life that never ends, Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Spirit are one God, now and forever. Amen. A poem was recently written for healing and comfort during this current pandemic. We sing these words to the familiar hymn, On Galilee's High Mountain.
Oh, God, we ask your blessing.
remember us in your kingdom, Lord, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord smile upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen. Most of you are familiar with the Gaither Vocal Band. Their high tenor, David Phelps, is probably one of the greatest singers you will ever hear. And in closing, I wanted to send you off with his inspiring rendition of He's Alive. Be blessed.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. Oh, the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. So we both ran to the garden, then John ran on ahead. And we found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. So even if he was alive, it could never be the same. Then suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Oh, but then he raised me to my feet. And as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Oh, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.